Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Today, I'm teaching part 3 of hearing the voice of God. Megan's helping me teach today. She was a major encouragement in helping me recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life, the voice of God in my life. Last week, we shared John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." John 14:25-27 says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We talked last week about the fact that if the Holy Spirit's going to bring to our remembrance all that the Lord has spoken, it is important that we are familiar with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. The disciples were with Jesus all the time for years, or a lot of the time for years. Mm-hmm. They saw him in action. They saw him doing all kinds of things. A lot of things that weren't even recorded in the scriptures, they experienced. Mm-hmm. Now, we have all the pertinent information in the scriptures that we need to live out life and godliness, right, for what we're called to do. But we know, based on the end of the book of John, that if all the deeds that Jesus did were written down, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain them. Yeah. So it's important to recognize that what we know is a slice of it, but it's enough of a slice to allow us to get a full picture. Mm-hmm. But Jesus spoke this to his disciples. Now, I'm taking this as a principle and a truth from his word for my own life, mm-hmm, that the Holy Spirit is the Helper, and he does bring to remembrance those things that are in the Word of God. So to me, it's not that I heard God say or Jesus say something, mm, during his earthly ministry, but I've read the Gospels. I know the Word. Right. So as I go throughout the day, the Holy Spirit is able to bring scriptures up in my mind. Mm-hmm. And as I meditate on the truth of the Word, the Holy Spirit's able to reveal things to me from those scriptures that I've put in my heart by meditating on the truth of the Word. Mm-hmm. Megan, did you have anything with those?
Yeah, this really is foundational for hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, because it says the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Well, we don't have everyday direction for, okay, am I supposed to marry this person or am I supposed to get this job? But it says here, he will teach us all things. So that's the answer for the things that don't pertain to the Word of God, that we still need direction and answer for, that do affect our lives. But then you have what you were just saying, he'll bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. What is that? That's the scripture from beginning Genesis to Revelation. It's all the things that pertain to who Christ is, that the Holy, as we're putting it in, he'll draw it up and bring it to our remembrance. Then it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. What is that? What have we said is the indicator that you're hearing from the voice of the Lord? Peace. It's Jesus leaving his peace with us. That's how we know, you know what? I have peace about this. And then it says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. So it doesn't mean that it makes sense to what the world would do or how the world would think or how the world would act. But it says, he says, it's my peace that I give to you that goes way beyond. So I think that's really powerful. That stood out to me as you're reading that again. So
thank you. That is really good. Mm-hmm. We follow peace. So a lot of times when I think that I may have heard the voice of God, mm-hmm, you heard it when I told the stories, I'll go, okay, Lord, is that you?
Right.
And I'll ask the Lord, like, is this you? I have this thought that doesn't make sense to my natural mind.
Right.
It's not a way I would normally do something or a thing I would normally do, mm-hmm, but it just, this thought comes pretty strong, like, oh, do this, or you should do it this way, or go there. So at the time, I'll be like, Lord, is that you? And then I'll typically pray in the spirit for a few moments and just ask the Lord, Lord, is this you? And while I'm asking him and praying in the spirit, I'm waiting for the witness of peace. And when I have the witness of peace on the inside that, yeah, this is God, it doesn't make that sense to my natural mind. But in my spirit, I'm hearing a yes. Yes, it's me. And I feel peace with it. Then I move forward. When I don't feel peace and I'm still like, eh, I'm not sure that's God or not, a lot of times I won't move forward on it. Now, sometimes I may not be sure, but based on what it is, and I'll talk a little bit later on this, sometimes there's things that I think are the Lord, but I'm not 100% sure it's the Lord. And I pray and I'm still not 100% sure. Then I ask myself, if I do the thing, is there anything negative with doing it? Is it doing something good or doing something that could go against anything that would go? Obviously, the Lord is never going to ask me to violate his word or do anything wrong or do anything that's not good. So if it's something that at the end I go, you know what? It's a good thing to do. Even if God's not specifically telling me to do it, it's still a good thing to do. In a lot of those cases, I'll still move forward with going ahead and doing it because I would rather err on doing it and it not actually being God at the time versus not doing it and missing God in it. To clarify also, for the last couple of weeks, I want to make sure to say that I'm not trying to communicate that I'm always hearing God speaking to me. And it's always this audible inner voice where I'm hearing the voice of God specifically on stuff. Most of my communication with the Lord is just being in a heart and an attitude of prayer and focus on the Lord and meditating on the truths of his word. And in meditating on his word, I'll see certain things in the word that I didn't fully understand before. And I see that as the Holy Spirit revealing the truths to me and things. One of the examples that we see in the word of believers hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in a similar fashion is in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And all my scriptures today are out of the ESV Bible, the English Standard Version. Verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. It says the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit doesn't have vocal cords in the natural. The Holy Spirit is spirit. So when the scripture says that the Holy Spirit said, that would have been the inner voice of the Holy Spirit speaking that. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When I talk about hearing the voice of God, I suppose technically it might be better communicated hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. But since the Holy Spirit is God, and a lot of times people are like, you know, I just want to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is hearing the voice of God. One of the things that we can pull out of this, another thing, they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Worshiping the Lord is putting our focus on God. When our focus is on the Lord, it's on Jesus, it's on God, and we're magnifying the Lord in worship. We're not focusing on our own problems, our own things. We're focusing on the goodness of God, the greatness of God, how big God is, what he's done in our life. We're worshiping the Lord there. They were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Fasting, I believe, is silencing the flesh. So what we see here is they were focusing on the Lord and they were silencing the flesh, if you will, through fasting, which allowed them to be at a place where they could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit give direction. And that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them."
And then they continued to fast. Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. Like, they didn't just, like you said, sometimes you go back and say, okay, Lord, is this you? I mean, because sometimes you do want to check in. There are some times where you have an urgency of no, go do this now. But then there are bigger things sometimes where it's good to just stay a minute and rest in that and continue fasting, because that was no small thing to send Barnabas and Saul off. They ended up being a major pivotal instrument in God's plan there. So that is, yeah, that's good. I think that just kind of confirms what you've been saying about going back and asking the Lord, Lord, is this you? And it's okay. You don't always have to rush into anything, everything.
And certainly for the bigger things. I know you and I have experienced that many times when the Lord's spoken something to us.
Right.
But we want to just get a little bit more clarity, especially for some of the really big decisions that we've made based on what we believe we heard from the Lord, moving across the country or something like that. That's not the kind of thing that you hear once and you just go do it.
Right.
At least for us, it's been one of those things where we heard and then we sought, Lord, we need some serious confirmation because this is really big and really life-changing. We want to know that we're hearing from you. And on those things, continuing to pray over it, continuing to make sure, okay, I want to make sure I'm hearing correctly from the Lord on this and allowing him to give us that additional confirmation, additional clarity so that we know, yes, it's the Lord.
Yeah.
One of the things that I mentioned that I usually do is pray in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We see here in Jude 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are building up our spirit, man, and we're strengthening our spirit and focusing in on the spirit on the inside of us.
Yeah.
And 1 Corinthians 14, 13 to 19, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. In that, when we're praying in the Spirit, we're not understanding the words we're speaking. We're speaking in unknown language to us, but our spirit is praying and we pray by faith. We pray in the Spirit by faith because it's in the Word.
Yeah.
But the key in this is verse 13. It says, therefore, when one speaks in a tongue, he should pray that he may interpret.
Yeah.
We can pray and ask the Lord to interpret for us or to interpret what we're praying, what we're speaking. And a lot of times when I'm praying in the Spirit is when I'll hear the voice of the Lord more clearly as I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what the Lord's saying.
Right.
And it's a way to allow myself to be focused in on the Spirit and be tuned in to hear the inner voice of God, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, giving clarity or direction or peace or whatever it may be in the situation. And a lot of times it's not a lot more than the Lord bringing scriptures to my remembrance, which goes back to the promise in John, in the book of John, that Jesus had with the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance. So that to me is the Lord giving me direction when I'm praying over something and I've got a scripture that pops up.
Yeah.
And then I look at that scripture, I meditate on the scripture, bring it back to mind, and be like, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? It's really helpful to get the wisdom and clarity and direction when we're able to do that. And sometime in the next few weeks, I believe we're going to talk more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it is to pray in an unknown tongue and have a better clarity on that based on the truth of the Word.
Yeah.
So we'll be touching on that in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
I've got a story right now from when I was first getting more clarity on hearing the voice of the Lord and recognizing His voice, not just in maybe bigger things, but in the small things as well. And just trying to be live in a place where I'm more tuned in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I was driving, it was a Friday afternoon, and I was going to the mall to buy a new iPhone. So I was excited to be going and getting a new iPhone. I had cracked the screen on mine. I was excited because I was going to be getting an upgrade as well. Now, this wasn't like iPhone launch. The iPhones have been out for a while. I just was going to get a new phone. So I was excited. As I was driving the mall, I was praising the Lord. I was praying in the spirit. And we lived about 45 minutes from the Apple store. And as I was pulling in the parking space closest to the Apple store entrance, mm-hmm. I heard in my spirit, "Don't park here. Go park in the back parking lot." And I was like, huh? That seemed really strange. So I prayed in the spirit. I'm like, "Lord, is that you?"
Yeah.
I was like, "You know what? I'm not 100% sure that's the Lord, but I'm going to go park in the back parking lot because I don't see any harm in going and parking in the back parking lot. And I would rather err on the side of, I think it's God, but I'm not 100% sure." And I was still learning to decipher his voice on the inside. So I'm like, "You know, this doesn't make sense to my mind, but okay, I'm going to go park on the back parking lot." So I drove back to the back parking lot and felt like the Lord said, "Hey, park over here." So I parked at the entrance, and I ended up being near the entrance to a sporting goods store of some kind and the food court at the mall. So I entered the mall through the food court doors, and I'm walking through there, and I'm just in the spirit of prayer. I was like, "Man, I think I heard the Lord's voice. So I'm going to be really attentive because maybe I'm going to see someone that I know coming out of the mall. Maybe I'm supposed to have some special appointment with someone or connection with someone. Or maybe there's someone I need a witness to or pray for." So I'm going in, keeping my eyes open, thinking, "Okay, Lord, am I hearing?" And as I'm walking through the food court, I start to have this thought. Yeah, Tim, you've gone off the deep end. You think you hear God and all kinds of stuff. You don't hear the voice of God. Look at you. God didn't tell you to park up here. You did this on your own. And I'm feeling a little foolish, like, "Okay, God, maybe I am being over spiritual. Maybe I'm trying too hard to hear your voice. This doesn't make any sense." And I was feeling a little discouraged and just had the barrage of thoughts that I believe were from the enemy, right. The adversary.
Right.
Did God really say, "Don't eat of this"? Did God really say to come up here? Did God really tell you this? Or are you just making all this up? Is it all just in your head? So I was feeling a bit discouraged, but still excited to be getting a phone. I thought, "You know what? It doesn't matter. I went back and I parked. I don't have to know why I did that.
Yeah.
Lord, it's okay." So I go to the Apple store. I get the phone exchange. They're finishing it up, and I get a phone call from Megan. And Megan's like, "Hey, hun, could you stop by Chick-fil-A on your way home and bring home some Chick-fil-A salads?" I'm like, "Sure." And then after getting off the phone, I'm like, "Oh man, Chick-fil-A is like a mile down the street. It's across a major intersection. It's about 4:30 now on a Friday afternoon. Traffic is going to be insane. Beside that, this Chick-fil-A is always absolutely packed, like line running down the block, busy." I'm thinking it's going to add an extra 45 minutes or so to my trip home.
Yeah.
And that just means there's going to be more time until I get to have fun with my new iPhone. So I was feeling kind of disappointed, but at the same point, like, okay, whatever. And I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, I realized I had to go to the back entrance to get my car. So I'm going back the way I came, and I'm walking through the food court, and there is a Chick-fil-A right there in the food court. I had not remembered there was a Chick-fil-A at the mall. In my mind, when Megan called me and said, "Get Chick-fil-A," I'm thinking I have to go across the street and get Chick-fil-A. If I was parked at the close entrance, I would have been out to my car already, and I would have been heading across to the wrong Chick-fil-A. Instead, I'm walking through the food court and I see Chick-fil-A, and I was so excited. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, God, you knew this." And it was really exciting for me, not just because I saved 40 minutes that day and was able to be in and out of Chick-fil-A in no time and home and enjoying it, but praising God that I was in tune with his voice and that I did hear his voice. And the lies of the enemy questioning whether or not I heard the voice were lies of the enemy. And I started learning that almost any time I hear the voice of the Lord, there's always that voice behind it going, "Yeah, was that really God? Did you really hear God? Did God really say?" Do you have something on this?
The Holy Spirit, I believe, reminded me of something about that story that I think is pretty significant. If I remember correctly, you were really disappointed about breaking your phone. And part of it was disappointing because you had been hearing the voice of the Lord a lot, and you really were excited and very passionate about becoming more confident in that. And I was like, oh, honey, you're upgrading your hearing. You went into town. And I think that's why that, if I remember correctly, that's why that spirit of disappointment and discouragement kind of came on you, because you're like, oh, you're going to get a new phone. Maybe you aren't hearing the voice of God as well as you. Because if I'm pretty sure, right. I think exactly that was the Holy Spirit reminding me of that. Okay. Yes. Yeah. It was just really cool how God, yeah, he does care, and he is speaking, and there are levels, and we grow in it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And when we hear the voice of the Lord, and as I'm sharing this, my encouragement to everyone listening is begin training yourself to hear the voice of the Lord. Yeah. Ask the Lord to be speaking to you. Be expecting it.
Absolutely.
When we have an expectancy to hear his voice, it is much easier for us to hear his voice. When we know his word, it's much easier for us to hear his voice, because we know his word. And meditating on his word is hearing his voice as well. Meditating on the truths of his word is one of the ways that he speaks to us, and bringing scripture to our remembrance. I don't want to give the impression, though, that I've never been where I think maybe I missed it.
Right.
Because there are times where I don't remember all those times, but I know there have been times where I'm like, oh, I think this is God. Yeah. And then, for example, in that particular story, had I gone up there and had nothing happen? What I've kind of come to the conclusion of, what I mean by had I gone up there, had I parked in the back parking lot and Megan hadn't called me and I didn't get Chick-fil-A, you know, had that story happened without understanding why I was supposed to park there, I've learned now to just trust the fact that it didn't do any, there was no negative that came from following through, because there's been other things, and I don't know, I can't think of any particular story, because I don't store those up as memories. I let them go, but there are times where I know I thought, oh, I think that's the Lord. Is that you, Lord? I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. Again, when I'm not 100% sure, I try to err on the side of, okay, if it's a good thing anyway, just do it, regardless of whether or not God's telling me to do it. I'm going to do something that's good.
Right.
If it's a neutral thing where I don't really know that it's good or bad, but it's not going to make any difference. In other words, if I'm driving home and I feel like the Lord tells me to go a specific route to get home, most of the time I don't know why he told me to go that route. Mm-hmm. I believe that it's a hand of God's protection and leading. And whether or not something could have happened if I'd gone the other direction, I don't know. And I won't know that until eternity. But what I do know is if I feel the Lord says, hey, go home this way, I'm going to go home the way he told me to. Because if there's multiple ways I can get home and I feel a leading to go one particular way, I'm going to do it and trust that it's the Lord. Right. Now, in the end, if it wasn't God and it was just my thought to go a certain way, it doesn't matter. So in those particular cases, it doesn't matter. But on the bigger things, there's always been confirmation. We've never made a major decision without having the Lord confirm it multiple times to us for major life decisions. Those are the types of things that it's getting counsel, it's hearing, you know, hearing in multiple ways from the Lord, getting wisdom for like really big life changing, like moving across the country type things, going to Bible school, all kinds of different things, getting married, doing things. It's like, okay, Lord, we need to know this is you, because this is a really big decision.
Yeah.
Now, in Deuteronomy 18:22, we read here about a prophet. Now, this is Old Testament, so it is speaking about prophet, and it was helping the people understand. There were lots of people that claimed to be prophets, but not all of them were prophets from God. Not all of them had the words of God. And the way that the people were able to determine, ultimately, if it was a true prophet or not, is whether or not what they spoke came true.
Yeah.
It says here in verse 22, when the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about what the prophet's saying if they're a prophet that prophesies and it doesn't come to pass.
Yeah.
I pulled that out. I know it's out of context in this case, but the lesson I learned from it is if I think I hear from the Lord and it turns out to be something where I go, you know, I really don't know that was the Lord. It doesn't mean I don't hear from the Lord all the time. It means that I can get it wrong. Now, I am a child of God. I do hear his voice. The promise is that I hear his voice. It doesn't mean that I don't hear the voice of God.
Right.
It just means as I'm learning to hear his voice, I can still get it wrong. I think about our children. You know, sometimes our children will come to us and say, did you call me?
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we didn't call you. Why? Oh, I thought I heard you. Mm-hmm. Nope, it wasn't me.
Right.
I would rather them come to me
right.
and think that they heard me
yeah.
than not come. Because there's other times I am calling for them and they're not coming. And it gets a little frustrating. Or it's yelling for them and you get the what?
Yeah.
And they don't stop what they're doing to come. It's like, no, yeah. stop and pay heed, because I would rather err on the side of obeying what I believe is the Lord, even if in some case I misheard,
sure.
than not obeying when it is the Lord. And I think it's a key to remember, first of all, the promise that Jesus gave, that my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
I know them and they follow me.
Yeah.
So it's a promise that I'm going to hear the voice of God. I know I'm going to hear him.
Yeah.
When I potentially get it wrong in an area, I don't blame God and say, God, why were you wrong about this? You told me this and this didn't happen. I never blame God if for some reason something I thought was going to come to pass or happen didn't happen the way I expected it to, and I yeah. thought I heard from God. What I do is I recognize that, okay, that wasn't the voice of God, because God doesn't lie. Anything God says is true. Anything he's telling me is through his all-knowing wisdom. So I have to rest in that
yeah.
and know that while I'm learning to hear his voice and I'm growing at it and getting better, especially when I first started out, it's okay to not get it right 100% of the time.
Right.
And don't be discouraged, and don't listen to that lying voice mm-hmm. that wants to stop you from hearing the voice of God. Mm-hmm. If I think back, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I was talking about obedience mm-hmm. and the fact that the enemy comes trying to get us off the truth of the word and get us to follow his lies, get us to not obey God based on him questioning whether or not it was God. And that's what I'm talking about here. It's real important that if we somehow think we miss it, don't allow that to be an opportunity for the devil to come in and tell us, you don't hear the voice of God, because that's what he wants to do. There's other times mm-hmm. when I'm sharing the hearing the voice of the Lord. I know I shared some stories about hearing God and God being able to move through my obedience mm-hmm. with either the man at the train station or right. the gentleman at Steak and Shake.
Yeah.
So those types of things are ones where it's like I stepped out in obedience yeah. to what I heard
yeah.
and it had an amazing result yeah. by walking in obedience.
Yeah.
I have had other times mm-hmm. that in looking back with regret, I know I heard the voice of God
mm-hmm.
and I didn't step out because I didn't want to be uncomfortable
right.
is really at the root of it. I didn't want to be uncomfortable.
Right.
So I chose not to obey mm-hmm. and I learned from it. One of the stories that comes to mind every so often as I think about this,
mm-hmm.
Megan and I were in Spain on a vacation and it was an amazing trip. And we were walking out on the street one day and sightseeing and just having a great time together and enjoying the romantic place we were walking around or whatever it was. Felt romantic because I was with you. I don't know how romantic it was, but in my mind, it was romantic. But in doing that, there was a lady that was crippled and panhandling or begging.
Yeah.
And as we walked past,
mm-hmm.
I felt a strong impression on the inside. I heard the Lord say, go pray for her. And I remember looking back and being like, Lord, is that you? And I was like, go pray for her.
Mm.
And I remember thinking, God, if I go pray for her, and what if she doesn't get healed? What if it doesn't make sense? Why would I do that, Lord? I'm not really. And whatever the reasoning being,
yeah.
I remember not going to pray for her. And I basically said, Lord, I don't know. I just really don't want to stop and go pray for her. Just send someone else, Lord.
Yeah.
And I look back on it with regret and growth.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I absolutely believe I heard the voice of the Lord that day, and I chose not to follow through. Now, knowing God, God knew that I wasn't going to pray for her.
Wow.
He also knew that I would learn something from that.
Yeah.
And I have asked him for additional opportunities where I can pray for people, and I've had additional opportunities.
Yeah.
And I've also had other times where, similarly, I didn't step out. I can think of another time
mm-hmm.
I was waiting for food at Texas Roadhouse, and I think it was just me. I was going to pick up to go.
Yeah.
And there was this girl that was there, and I believe she had like a leg brace on or something. Whatever it was, I remember looking at it and just feeling inside, pray for her.
Yeah.
Pray for her healing. And in that case as well, I remember thinking, oh gosh, Lord, what if I don't get it right? What if I bring shame to your name because I pray and she doesn't get healed? Mm-hmm. It wasn't until later in my Christian walk that I was able to look back on those things and realize it's not our responsibility what happens when we pray.
Right.
The Bible tells us we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Yeah.
If it's not an instantaneous healing that we can see with our eyes, it doesn't mean that if we step out in obedience, nothing happened.
Right.
It's important that we obey.
Yeah.
And those are a couple incidents that I can think of where I have regret for not walking in obedience
yeah.
and stepping out of my comfort zone mm. to do what the Lord told me to do.
Yeah.
So when I'm sharing these stories, I don't want it to sound like I've always got it together and I always, everything I hear is the Lord and I'm some super believer in that case. That's not the case. The case is I'm continuing to learn and continuing to grow.
Right.
And when I feel the Lord telling me to do something, I have a choice if I'm going to obey or not. Now, God is all knowing.
Yeah.
Therefore, he knows before he asks me if I'm going to do it or not.
Right.
But that doesn't change who God is. And the fact that he asked me to do it,
yeah.
it also, looking at it, I know that I've grown from it.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to realize that when we miss it in an area, we don't live in condemnation over that,
yeah.
but we learn and we grow from it and continue maturing in our ability to hear his voice and our choice to walk in obedience when we do hear his voice.
Amen.
All right, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So a couple of things in there. Number one is recognizing that through my natural senses, through my natural reasoning, I am not going to understand the truth of the Word of God. The,
right.
the truths of the Word of God are spiritual and spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
It takes the Holy Spirit revealing the truths of the Word to me. There are people that read the Bible and study the Bible mm-hmm. from an academic standpoint or from a secular standpoint, and they look at it as either just history.
Right.
They look at it as an interesting book to be dissected,
mm-hmm.
but they don't look at it as the very Word of God. And as a result, they don't have the Spirit of God guiding them in what they're reading.
Right.
And it's so important that as we're learning to hear the voice of the Lord, we recognize that when we are born again, we have the Spirit of God on the inside of us,
mm-hmm.
that he has come to reside in us.
Yeah.
And he gives us that Spirit so that we can have the understanding of the Scriptures, so that we can understand spiritual truths.
Mm-hmm.
It says, who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person? We don't know the thoughts of God except what he has revealed to us through the revelation that he brings to us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit
right.
is able to take and impart what we need to know to walk in obedience to his truths. The Lord also knows our thoughts. He knows how we think. He knows what we're going to do. He knows the words we speak before we speak them.
Right.
God knows whether or not we're going to obey him or not before he tells us to do something. But that doesn't stop him from telling us to do something, because even when we disobey, we can still learn in those situations
yeah.
and we can still grow from it.
Yeah.
But I believe it's important for each of us to choose, Lord, I want to hear your voice
right.
and I want to walk in obedience.
Right.
And when we get it wrong, we repent. We don't live in condemnation. We repent, meaning we change our mind and say, Lord, give me another opportunity to get this right.
Yeah.
You know, even if I think of just parenting, you know, we give our kids chances to grow. When they get something wrong, we want to help them continue to grow and have another chance to get it right again. And that brings joy to my heart as a father,
right,
to help my children grow in an area, to help them get it right.
Yeah.
And there is a maturing that comes the more they learn to obey, the more they learn to follow properly, if you will, what I'm instructing them to do. But as a father, especially when the kids are little and we're just teaching them how to do something or get something, when they get it wrong, there's no being upset with them. It's grace and looking at it from a natural father's eyes, helping them get it right. Mm-hmm. And recognizing, especially the Holy Spirit with us, mm-hmm, as we grow and mature, there is more that's expected out of a believer that is a mature believer than a new believer that is just learning how to handle the Word of God, how to understand these truths. And I believe that there is additional grace as we're working through learning to hear the voice of God and do it. So wherever someone's at on their journey of hearing the voice of God and of spiritual maturity, mm-hmm, it's important that we walk by grace, knowing that our Heavenly Father knows us and He loves us and He desires for us to grow. Megan, do you have something on this?
I do, actually. It's reminding me of, I think last week you shared the scripture, but Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Back in January, I went on a trip to Ohio, and I went by myself. I was going to do some visiting. I remember I just was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to spend this time with you in the quiet of listening to your word and just listening to your Holy Spirit as I'm driving. And I remember just saying, Lord, there was multiple ways I could go. I was like, I'm going to go the back way. I'm going to go more the back way as opposed to the freeway. And it happened that I needed gas. Sam's Club gas station was right there. So I paid less for gas and it was literally right on my way. And it was like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's a blessing. So I kept driving and just enjoying my time in the Word. I'm getting hungry. And I had the thought, man, Panera bread sounds so good. And I hadn't put it in. I hadn't put it in my GPS to get there. I just had my destination. And then as I'm driving, I'm getting a little more busy traffic, freeway, and I got off on the wrong exit and I'm like, oh no. But I look up and I see on the side of the road advertisement for the restaurants that are coming up, and Panera was right there. So I was like, oh my goodness. Wow, this is so awesome. Lord, I just said in my heart a few minutes ago, I was going to settle for whatever, but You knew I wanted Panera. So I ended up stopping, enjoying my time in Panera. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to go grab some coffee creamer for my coffee, because I had gotten a cup of coffee, but I don't necessarily like the creamer that's there. So it was a little thing, but I looked up Walmart, and sure enough, there was a Walmart right there. So I go into Walmart and I go back to the creamer section, and they have my very favorite creamer that was a seasonal creamer that had been sold out everywhere else locally, but that creamer was there. Now, this might seem silly, but it was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. Like another little just kiss from heaven, if you will, or God saying, hey, I care about you. I love you. And I care about you more than what you think I do and what you even care about yourself. He had all that planned out for me, even though I kind of had my directions. He spoke that scripture to me during that trip, saying like, listen, your heart plans your way. I direct your steps. And not just, sometimes we limit God and don't ask for the extra things, but He wants to give us and talk to us and show us about all those other extra things, little things, big things. He cares. And He is leading, directing our steps, and He is speaking and leading us in that stuff. That was just really special as you were sharing that. I was reminded of that story and thought, God is leading us in the big things, but He's also leading us in the little things, as long as we're setting our heart. But I started that trip out setting my heart to just listen to the Lord, hear the Lord, and enjoy my time with Him. And He took really good care of me on that. So
that's excellent. Thank you. I'm going to go back real quick here to 1 Corinthians 2. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just jump into 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself judged by no one. Mm. For who has understood the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? Mm. One of the things I'm thinking of there, Paul talked about, I don't have the scripture in front of me, mm-hmm. but Paul said, you know, I don't look for anyone's approval of me. I don't even judge myself.
Right.
The Lord is my judge. The Lord is the one that judges. Mm-hmm. And if we live our lives, see, when I didn't obey mm-hmm. at those times where I didn't step out in obedience, mm-hmm. I recognized I didn't step out in obedience. No one else knew I was walking in disobedience at the moment.
Right.
But I knew I was walking in disobedience because I believed that I heard from the Lord and I chose to be like, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
God knew I was going to do that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, God is my judge. It doesn't matter if people think I'm a religious fanatic, if people think I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. If I'm not looking for the approval or the praise of men, but I'm looking at that before God, I need to be able to stand one day because he's the one I'm giving an account to.
Right.
So whether or not I walk in obedience or disobedience, my job is to crucify my flesh, to say, no, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Yeah.
I may not have quoted that exactly right, but
no,
that has to be my mindset, is that I have been crucified with Christ.
Right.
And that the life I'm living is allowing the Lord to work through me as I am part of the body of Christ.
Right.
So the Lord is our judge.
Right.
And when we allow the Lord to be the one that judges us and realize that we're not living up for the approval of other people, mm-hmm. it makes it easier to walk in obedience to the Lord if we realize that that's what matters. That's the only thing in the long run, that us choosing to walk in obedience to the Lord is what matters. It's not what people think about us.
Right.
It's whether or not we did what we were supposed to do.
Right.
Now, verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
We can rest in the fact that as believers, if we're focused on the Lord, if we're focused on spiritual truths, mm-hmm. the Lord is going to give us wisdom mm-hmm. that is beyond our natural abilities.
Yeah.
Based on the truth of the Word of God.
Right.
We have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So grabbing that and saying, okay, Lord, we have the mind of Christ. That means as we focus in on the truth of the Word, we can follow your ways and your plans and see things from a different place than from natural people. And the world is not going to understand. People of the world are not going to understand the spiritual things that we're following after because it makes no sense to the world.
Right.
But being okay with that and realizing that when we're stepping out in faith or doing the things that we know we've heard from the Lord, it's going to look in a lot of times like foolishness to the world mm-hmm. because it doesn't follow after the world system.
Right.
But if it's something that lines up with the truth of the Word and we've heard it from the Lord, that's what we choose to obey. Stepping out and praying for someone, it's not our responsibility if they're healed or not. It's our responsibility to walk in obedience and say, okay, Lord, it doesn't make sense. It may look foolish to the world, but you told me to do this. Hey, do you mind if I pray for your daughter? Hey, do you mind if I pray for you? That's okay to do.
Yeah.
And that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So the next thing I want to talk about, kind of shifting the topic here a little bit, is one of the major areas that I found hinders me hearing the voice of the Lord is when I'm allowing worrying thoughts and anxiety to cloud my thoughts. When I'm allowing worry and anxiety in my life, and I'm focused on the things that I'm worried about, or I'm focused on things that are bringing anxiety to me, or anxious thoughts, concerns, and other things, those are areas, if I don't cast those onto the Lord like I'm called to, 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Mm. Casting all. That's not like casting one or two things. Like every bit of anxiety that comes up in us, we have to cast on the Lord because he cares for us.
Yeah.
The scripture right after that is talking about the enemy. Mm-hmm. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Mm-hmm. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
Mm-hmm.
Resist him, firm in your faith,
mm-hmm.
knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have to cast all of our anxiety on him, not just a little bit, all of our anxiety, because he cares for us. And we, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that lines up with our initial scripture in John 14:25 and continues in that vein that we've been talking about. Jesus, the last thing he says at the end of verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Those anxieties, worries, fear, that's what Jesus is saying. Don't let your heart be troubled. He just gave his disciples encouragement that they're going to still be able to hear from him. He's still going to be speaking to them. He says, I'm going to lead you by my peace. But then he gives the encouragement, just like what you're saying. It is really pulling together what the scripture in John 14 is talking about. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
That's so good. And when we cast our anxiety, I'm talking about the fact that anxiety and worry, if left unchecked in our life, will hinder our ability to hear from the Lord.
Right.
What it actually does is it opens us up to hearing from the enemy. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Yeah. Resist him firm in your faith. So if he's seeking someone to devour, he's coming with lies. He's coming to get us into disobedience. He's coming to get us off the truth of the word. And that's what worry and anxieties that we try to carry end up doing.
Right.
It is walking in disobedience. If we're choosing not to cast our anxieties on the Lord, we are walking in disobedience to the word of God. When we're choosing, oh, I'll just carry this. You know what? God doesn't have time for it, or God can't handle this, or whatever the thought is. Why I would ever choose to carry anxiety, I'm not sure. But when I'm being oppressed by the enemy, when I'm feeling that discouragement or the worry coming in, it's difficult to be like, no, I'm just going to cast this on the Lord. Like, Lord, how do I do this? And that's where choosing to focus on praise, choosing to get my mind and choose what I'm going to focus on and take, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, where we take every thought captive and bring it into obedience to the truth of the word. That's where we can do that. When we sit there and say, no, I'm going to cast all my anxiety, I'm going to get this worry cast on the Lord, and I'm going to choose to focus on the truth of the word of God. And I'm going to stand on that, and that's what I'm going to base my life on.
Amen.
So speaking of anxiety and worry robbing us of an opportunity to hear from the Lord, we see an amazing picture of that in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now they went on their way. Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Megan, I know you had a story that goes along with that, where the Lord spoke to you from the set of scriptures. But before you get into that, Martha was distracted. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach.
Yeah.
Jesus was teaching at that moment. He was speaking at that moment. Mm-hmm. When we recognize the Lord is active, the Lord is working, whether or not we choose to tune in and hear his voice in our life is up to us choosing to focus in many times.
Right.
It's not because the Lord has nothing to say to us. It's not because he's uninterested in getting something to us. Many times, it's simply a matter of us being so focused on everything else that's going on that we're missing the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord and hear something from him. Mm-hmm. Megan, go ahead and share your story.
Yeah, that is so good. And one of the things that in that story is highlighted is like, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. In other words, Martha wanted Jesus to be there. She wanted his presence in her life, but the cares, the worries, the anxieties were crowding out everything. She's like, oh, I've got to serve for him. And I have had, that has been a major thing for me. Oh, Lord, I need to do this for you. Oh, Lord, if I need, you know, my works and my ability to prove to the Lord that he made the right choice by choosing me as a disciple or, you know, anything that has been a major pressure against my personal life. I know when we moved to Colorado, one of the big reasons we moved out there, the Lord had Bible college out there for us. But it wasn't too long into the move that the Lord showed you that you were to go, and you made that the steps to start going. You're like, hey, what if you go with me? And I was like, no, I don't feel peace about that. Luke was just going into preschool and I wanted to make sure to be available. The timing just wasn't right. It just was no peace. But then I remember it was spring of your first year and I was starting to just get this stirring on the inside of me and a little bit of healthy discontentment. I was wanting to be around people and I just wasn't sure what was going on. So I remember dropping the kids off at school. I got in the car, driving into Colorado Springs, and I just listened to the word and happened to be listening to Luke, and it got to this chapter and I just had this stirring in my heart. I turned off the word and I said, Holy Spirit, whatever is keeping me, whatever anxieties, whatever worries, whatever is keeping me from just sitting at your feet and learning from you in this season, I ask that you help me to reveal that, to put myself in that position. Went on with the rest of my day, didn't think anything of it. The next day, you text me and said, hey, it's campus days. You should get ready and come over. One of your favorite pastors is teaching today. And I was like, oh, I was getting ready to clean and do the bathroom and do this and that. And the Holy Spirit just said, Megan, what was that you prayed yesterday? And I was like, shoot, okay, I guess I'm going to campus days. So I just dropped everything, got into get ready, and just was asked the Lord, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord's like, it's time. It's time for you to go to get ready to go to school. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. So that was a shock for me. Wasn't something I was expecting. I thought I was just going to kind of quietly get away with whatever. I don't know during that season. But yeah, God had some plans for me. And obviously, it was an amazing experience of growth and healing. And man, a lot of good things that the Lord had during that season for both of us. Really, it was really good to be able to set things aside because I was so used to making sure that, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about? And God was like, no, you need to set this stuff aside because I have things to impart into you. And I love in this story, one of the things that God's continued to teach me, because this story is just something that God uses a lot in my life to speak to me. In the right time, Mary had an appointment. She had a directive from God to anoint Jesus for his burial. And she was ready for that moment. And I believe it had to do with the fact that she chose to prioritize listening to Jesus and prioritize that place of peace rather than Martha, who was in a place of anxiety and worry. You know, and that's ultimately what the story is talking about. It's not that we sit around and do nothing and just read our Bible 24/7. No, it's this place of peace on the inside of us where we're not allowing the anxiety to overtake us, but we're resting in faith and letting the word do its work in us on a daily basis without letting the worries and cares of this life choke out the word. So
that is so good. And along with this, some other places from the word, what do we do? Because if we're in anxiety, it's one of the ways that we're hindered from hearing the voice of the Lord. Right. How do we get that under control? What are some of the ways that we do?
Right.
Well, we see this in Philippians chapter 4, yeah, verses 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we see right there the formula, if you will, for stepping out of worry and anxiety. Mm-hmm. What do? We cast that on the Lord. We take everything that's coming at us, all the worries, all the thoughts. The Lord already knows our thoughts.
Right.
But when we take those and choose to consciously say, Lord, I'm handing these over to you. These are the things that are plaguing my mind. These are the concerns. These are the worries that I have going on right now, Lord. I don't understand the solution to these things. I don't see a path forward in these areas. God, you have a path forward. God, you are a big God. And I thank you, Father, that your promises are true. I thank you for your amazing goodness in our life. I thank you, Lord, that you, and whatever it is, that you are our healer, that you are our provider, that you're our source of life, that you have the answers for jobs, for family, for marriage, for whatever it is, for addiction, for this, for that. The Lord has the answer for everything that could weigh a person down. And casting those cares on the Lord, whatever it is that we're focusing on, praying about it, choosing with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, where we have a heart of thankfulness to the Lord and gratitude for what he's already done in our life and an expectation for what he wants to do in our life and what we know he's going to do in our life. And we let those requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, he's also, this goes right along with it. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When we choose to walk in obedience to that passage right there, and we choose what we're going to think about, because we have control over the thoughts that we allow to stay. Right. We don't always have a control over thoughts that pop into our head, but we get to choose what we're going to meditate on. We get to choose if a thought lines up with the truth of the Word of God, or if we're going to take that thought captive and bring it into obedience to the truth, meaning, no, this is what the truth of the Word says. The Word says, and begin declaring it. If we don't know what the Word says, that's where it's important that we get in the Word. And it's okay to use a search function. Our phones have an amazing ability to search out, and we can pull up a Bible on our phone and search for certain keywords. We can Google certain scriptures and say, okay, what are scriptures on whatever topic? And typically, there's a lot of scriptures out there that don't take a ton of work to find if we choose to go looking for the truth.
Right.
If you have someone that you can trust, reach out to them, call them, a trusted, mature believer. Hey, here's the things that are bringing anxiety to me. What scriptures can I be meditating on? That's an important key. Did you have something, Megan?
Yeah, I think those are some of the beginning steps you can take as you're listening for the Holy Spirit, because like you were saying earlier, it is the Holy Spirit's job to remind us of those things. And that's why it's just so important for you just to get in the Word of God and read it. Just get in, even if you don't understand it, even if it doesn't make sense to your mind, it doesn't have to. You're still getting in that Word and planting it for the Holy Spirit to bring up. I don't think there's any care or worry that's too little either. Because Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than important than food, and the body more than clothing? And then he just goes on to encourage us. Yeah. Okay. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, I don't think there's something too big or too little, but it's a matter of us seeking first his righteousness. And how do we do that? Like you've been telling us, we get in this word and we find out his right way of doing things, and right way of living. So,
right along those lines, and a promise that we can hang on to this week as we're going about the week, we're learning to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Mm-hmm. One more time, Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Mm-hmm. When we choose to keep our mind focused on the truth of the word, focused on the Lord, focused on big God, small problem, it allows us to stay in perfect peace. Mm-hmm. When we don't know the answer in our own strength, that's why we go to prayer. And we don't have to get the answer immediately.
Yeah.
We can trust that as we seek first the kingdom of God, that everything that we need will be added to us.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter 1:2-8. Mm-hmm. This goes right along with keeping our mind stayed on him and the fact that in the word of God, are the answers for life.
Yeah.
Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
We have already been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence.
Mm.
We have to grow in our knowledge of him.
Mm.
That is where the solutions are. When we spend time in the word, we're gaining knowledge of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal life is knowing God. Gaining knowledge in the truth of the word
mm-hmm.
is where we understand the precious promises that we can stand on, that we can stake our life on, no matter what we go through.
Yeah.
We can stand on the truth of the firm foundation of the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to hearing the voice of God, the very first place we always go when we're looking for answers is to the word of God. And in that word is everything that we need for life and godliness.
A little bit later, after Jesus gives that instruction on not being anxious, he says in Matthew 7, starting verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, it's like where you were just talking about, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell and great was the fall of it. It goes back to everybody's got anxieties. Everybody's got worries. It's coming whether you're in the world, in the body of Christ. But when you are going to this word, when you're listening to this word, tuning your voice to the Holy Spirit, and then you're doing what you're hearing, you're not going to be, you're not going, your life won't fall apart because it's built and on the solid foundation and the truth of this word of God, like what you've been telling us. And I think that's really, it's really powerful.
Megan, you want to close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this good word. Thank you, Lord, that it goes into our hearts and it does produce fruit, Father. I thank you that your Holy Spirit all throughout this week is reminding us and bringing to our hearts and our minds the precious promises as we put them in, Lord, as we reflect on this teaching, as we reflect on your word, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the firm foundation that we have in building our life on hearing you and knowing you, and the joy and pleasure we have of getting in this word, that our lives are established and we can do mighty and great things for your kingdom. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.